Welcome to the Titanium Economy Podcast, where we showcase leaders from across the industrial sector as they share their valuable experiences, expertise, strategies, and more. These in-depth conversations with the brains behind the businesses lift the lid on how success is cultivated within the titanium economy.
Our guest today is Mr. Tom Ferguson, President and CEO of AZZ Inc. For over 10 years, Tom has led AZZ Inc. as a leader in the hot dip galvanizing and coil coating solutions to a broad range of end markets. Prior to serving as President and CEO of AZZ, Tom has had an almost 25-year career at Flowserve, a leading provider of flow control systems. While at Flowserve, Tom held a number of leadership roles across various business units and functions. Tom, welcome to the podcast. We're super excited to have you and I look forward to talking about your journey as an organizational leader in the industrial space.
Thanks, Connor. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So before we get started, for the folks at home that aren't maybe as familiar with AZZ and its products, could you provide a little bit of background on the space that you guys play in?
We are the largest independent metal coatings provider. We like to consider ourselves a solution provider for hot dip galvanizing and coil coating of sheet metal and including aluminum. So you wouldn't necessarily know us as such, but you probably see our products anytime you're driving down the road. You're going to see light poles, transmission poles. Mm-hmm. Probably the buildings are going to have sheet metal that we've painted. So while we're not a well-known name, we actually are the biggest in those two spaces.
So folks are touching your products every day, if they don't know the name.
Yeah, as we like to say, we like things like to make things last 50 to 100 years, and we also want to make them look good.
I think you touched on some of the end markets and applications that you see your products going into. It sounds like a lot of infrastructure, building. Any other primary segments that you guys serve?
Yeah, basically infrastructure, and a lot of infrastructure is construction. So that basic residential, commercial, industrial, you name it, when it comes to construction, we like to consider ourselves in it. So that could touch anything from petrochemical to the warehouse, to the Amazon warehouse you might see. Yeah. And then we're big in data centers and any kind of electric utility, transmission, distribution, construction.
I actually read a Wall Street Journal article earlier this week about the wave of that a lot of industrial companies are riding on the data center explosion that's happening across the country. So very, very cool that you guys are in a front row seat to see that.
Yeah, the nice part is we're not only in it directly, but we sold 60% of a business that's now operating as a Vail, and they're big in that same space. So they do the enclosures, the switch gear, for the data centers, and so it's great business these days.
I'll continue to talk about AZZ here, but maybe switch yeah. tracks slightly. AZZ recently announced a succession plan for the CFO, Philip Schlom, which congratulations to Philip on an excellent career. Yeah. What are some of the things that your team knew that you needed to get right to have a successful transition plan? And are there some risks that are still outstanding or being resolved?
Yeah, we're very fortunate as a public company. Obviously, we got to get our reporting right. We got to mitigate risk. We've got to be able to report our numbers and keep tight controls in place. So the good news here is Philip gave us plenty of notice. He basically announced that he was going to retire at the end of his contract, which runs to November 4th. And we had a good, strong internal successor candidate ready in the wings. So Jason Crawford. And it doesn't hurt that Jason, when we acquired Precoat Metals back in 22, Jason was the top financial leader at that time for them. And he'd also been the top leader in Sequa, who was the Carlisle company that owned Precoat. So the transition has been very, very smooth. We're a quarter into it and they are just checking off the boxes. We recently were able to hire Jason's replacement at Precoat, who I think is joining us in a week. So usually those are always the risk, is the team doesn't know each other. They don't. And in this case, Jason knows that entire team. Philip had built a really strong group here, and Jason had a strong team up at Precoat in St. Louis. So they just came off of a brainstorming session where they're putting a lot of these things together. So we basically checked all the boxes that you want to focus on, which is knowledge of the business, understanding the controls, understanding what a public company has to do for the controls and to be in compliance. And then how do you support the businesses from a FP&A financial analytics perspective. So yeah, we're excited about it. I think Philip, he's actually got some free time to focus on. I think he finally took a vacation, which is kind of nice to see. So we feel real good about it.
Also, and that actually kind of sets up my next question well, is that AZZ had an acquisition of the Precoat business in 22 that gave you access to the kind of that coil coatings market. And market is obviously, the public markets have responded very well. AZZ stock has done the past 2 years. How has that integration come along? It sounds like the personnel part was a huge kind of, not surplus, windfall from that, to be able to have that contribute to the succession plan. What are some of the other, I guess, components of that integration and how they're going?
Yeah, I think fortunately the people side of it, the leadership side of it, the cultures immediately meshed. One of the things I loved about touring their facilities, meeting their team before we even completed the acquisition, was just how compatible we were in our style, our approach to business, our approach to people, developing people, leadership and management philosophy. Mm-hmm. So that was great. We're both coatings businesses. I'd had the opportunity to kick the tire, so to speak, on Precoat back in 2018. So it was a business that I was attracted to back then. So the ability to bring these two teams together and also tremendous talent on both sides. So, and leaders in their respective spaces. So when I look at it, what could have been complexity turns into our opportunity. We also were able, as I mentioned, divest what was more of a holding company. It was kind of a mini conglomerate, about 8 or 10 different business units doing different things, to divest that into the private space, which was outstanding. So that freed our team and corporate up to focus on how do we bring these two great businesses together? How do we grow them faster? How do we deploy capital more wisely? And our focus initially was on paying down debt, because AZZ had never had a lot of debt. We were about 1.5 times levered on EBITDA, and we popped up to over 4. So focusing on how do you manage your cash flows and yet continue to invest in your businesses? So we had put acquisitions off to the side and focused on paying down debt, investing in the businesses. We did announce a huge investment, $125 million investment in building a new facility up outside of St. Louis in Washington, Missouri. And we have a partner on that, a customer who contractually committed to 75% of that volume. And it's on schedule and running. We're hoping to have it up and doing some test runs here at the end of the summer. So nothing but exciting things as we look at it. But yeah, it was a big step for us, and followed by another big step, which was divesting the successful, what we call AZZ Infrastructure Solutions. So we're excited at this point, excited about the future, and focused on how do we continue to grow and deploy capital well.
Yeah. So that facility that you mentioned, it sounds like an organic growth. Is that off of the solution acquisition, or was that core to the galvanizing business?
Yeah, that was Precoat. This was something that they had in the wings and been focused on. But being a private company, they had not pulled the trigger on it. So when we looked at it, it's in the aluminum space, which is a growing aluminum cans. It's all my wife drinks now is aluminum canned water. So we like it, because we'll now be providing paint for or pre-paint solutions for things like that, aluminum containers. And so we see it as a growth track, as it kind of replaced some of the plastic options. And it's, as I mentioned, we haven't announced who the partner is yet, but it's a top aluminum company.
It's an interesting angle. The inorganic growth gives you more places to leverage your status as a public company and deploy that capital into new markets. It sounds like that's the immediate next step. Are there other kind of thoughts about future expansion in the world of coatings, or it's maybe one step at a time with this facility first?
No, we tend to plan pretty far out. So we're back on the acquisition trail. For the most part, we've grown, we call it organically. We bolt on one-off galvanizing sites to our metal coatings group. So we've put the flag back up that after 2 years of focusing on debt reduction, we're back in the acquisition space. There's also larger acquisitions that we obviously will court. We were fortunate that a couple of processes shortly, as we were going through the process to acquire Precoat, couple of larger opportunities came available. Fortunately, for us, the process has failed, and hopefully they come back available again some other day. So we're excited about that.
Awesome.
Very cool. Well, and also we've got a lot of technology we've been applying, digital technology, which, by the way, is something we love about Aina. I mean, it's great for the digital space, for AI. We've been doing that for about 7 or 8 years on the galvanizing side. So we are far more automated and digitally integrated than any of our competition, which we believe gives us differential advantage, allows us to be far more integrated with our customers and provide that value. And we're doing some of the same things on the pre-coat side. They've got what's called Coil Zone. So we're going to continue to invest in those things, which is just continuing to make us closer to our customers and give them solutions that we like to think our competition can.
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes such a, as consumer technology becomes so much richer, it trickles over into what B2B customers expect. They're used to this ultra level of convenience and accessibility that they get in DoorDash and Uber Eats, and it's starting to get the same standards being applied and measured, those same folks doing their day jobs. So it's great to see that AZZ is ready to meet those changing demands. So I'd love to switch tack a little bit here from talking at AZZ to about infrastructure in the US largely, as you are a leading supplier of a lot of those inputs. I'd love to get your assessment of the state of US infrastructure. Like, where are there bright spots, areas of improvement? How are we compared to maybe other economic competitors? Any light that you could shed there would be super fascinating.
Yeah, I think there's multiple areas. So as you think about just the basic infrastructure, we usually think of bridge and highway. As I mentioned, the electrical transmission, distribution, everywhere you see the high wires and things like that. But now you got buried cables. Those are areas where the country has needed huge investments. And you see where people are moving. Here in Texas, you can't get in your car and drive down the road without seeing construction going on, whether it's bridges, highways, or just roads and sidewalks. So that's all really good to see through the IIJA, the providing some investment, because I do think it's going to take billions, if not probably trillions, to get us to a competitive, universal capability in terms of infrastructure. And then we've got the water systems. We've got everything from electrical cars. How are you going to get charging stations out there? Almost all of this plays well to us. Data centers, you mentioned, because if you're going to have, you know, lots of continue to build out anything from cryptocurrency to you name it, it's going to take electricity. It's going to take data systems, data centers. And so we see this finally really being built out in both the CHIPS Act as well as IIJA. Those funds are now getting deployed. Yeah. We're seeing them show up in projects. I still think we're in kind of the early innings. So this should be a good long tail if you look out over the next decade, providing tailwinds for companies like AZZ.
Yeah, and it's an interesting position the US is in compared to some other emerging economies, because there's some new build, but there's also how do you revamp an existing infrastructure versus other countries that are coming online
at
the new age. It's new build. You're starting with a blank canvas. So I'm sure that poses its own kind of complications. How do we build around what we've already got?
It's true, because there's always a tendency to just want to build over it. But in this case, we need integrated solutions, which also, as I mentioned, plays well to us. You're seeing more of the warehouses and everywhere you go, distribution is king now. So, because we all want it now.
Yeah.
And we want what we want now. So those distribution centers tend to have a lot of prepainted metal on them, just like the new chips plant. So massive amounts of painted sheet metal, if you will, all of which it's easier to construct, it's higher quality, and you can get projects done quicker.
Yeah. No, exciting time certainly for infrastructure build in the US over the years to come. So switching tracks again, would love to, as we talk about the industrial space overall, would love to kind of, on maybe a more personal note, understand if there are any names or organizations in the industrial space that you enjoy following or you think are doing really interesting things.
It's interesting because I mentioned Aina, which obviously I've had a long relationship with Nick Santhamum, and
And I'll say the things folks at home, we didn't pay him to say that. So
you did it. But I find Nick has been just a great partner advisor, if you will. And Fernweh bought the majority of AIS, now called Avail. And that's an interesting company because I'm watching what they're doing in the industrial space and growing enclosures and switch gear and electrical things are just taking off. But, you know, so there you go from more of a kind of a mini conglomerate to focused coatings. I hesitate to mention any of our large customers. I do have great respect for the SDIs and some of the steel metal manufacturers because I think it all starts with metal and we've got to have that capability in our country to provide it. And that's kind of the source in terms of almost all industrial construction activity. So when I'm thinking about it, it's I should have better answers to that. I like one of the companies I'm at because it's transportation, so Wabash. But I also like all of the, when you think about trucks and trailers and everything to move products across the country, that's fits right in with infrastructure, fits right in with then how do you transit the country and get products across it. So, and then how do we utilize technology going forward? So that's kind of the ones I think about. There's so many that fit our customer base. By mentioning one name, I almost exclude others.
You know, so yeah.
I'm just being a little cautious right now.
It's like the Oscar acceptance speech. You don't want to, you want to thank everyone, but there's the
don't want to alienate anybody. So.
Yeah, no, totally. But I appreciate you sharing that perspective. We like to end on like a little bit of a fun question here. I know you're Dallas Fort Worth based, if that's correct. So I don't know if you watched the Mavericks game last night, but your Mavericks are one game away from the NBA Finals for the first time in 10 years. Are you tuning in? Do you like them over the Celtics, or how do we feel? Dallas.
We've had a good run. So we had the Rangers win the World Series last year, and then we've got so now we have both the Stars and the Mavs. The Mavs are up 2-1, or Mavs are up 3-1, yeah. And should have won last night, but tough finish. But it's okay, get them back home, and then we're hoping for the Stars because my wife became a hockey fan back in 1999 when they won their first and only Stanley Cup. So the only thing we lag on is our Cowboys haven't seemed to find a way to compete. So
they're coming. They just need the Mavs and the Stars to show them the way, and I'm sure they'll be in hot pursuit.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're excited. So we could have two contenders here in the finals.
Very cool. Well, I'm sure the country will be watching excitedly. In the meantime, Tom, thanks so much for this discussion. It's been really enlightening. And for the folks at home, thanks again for tuning into another episode of The Titanium Economy.
Thank you for listening to The Titanium Economy Podcast. To learn more, share feedback, and stay up to date, please visit titaniumeconomy.com.